The scripture reading this morning will be from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 16 through 19. Luke chapter 15, verses 16 through 19. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'"
Last night was a blessing to all involved. I just want to echo the same that Jamie said. We certainly want to thank Delisa for allowing us to sing and commune with her. And I want to say thank you to this loving congregation for answering the call on such short notice and showing up, filling the house and going out the door. And then there were those on social media as well. It was a blessing to be there and to be a part of that. It was great for her to hear the kind words that people shared and said, and for her to be able to hear those and to say thank you to that. And it was a blessing for all involved. Just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And thanks to her and Greg, and thanks to you for demonstrating the kind of love that Christ would have us to share one with another. We have a January challenge to read the New Testament. You may have heard about it, yes? Heard about it. Good, it's working, Jamie. The information is on the information center. If you have not picked up a card yet or signed up to do that, let us again encourage you to be a part of that. You know, when you're encouraging people and you're trying to lead people, there is this dichotomy of forcing and driving and pulling and tugging. And you don't want to ever get into the position of beating people and thrashing them. But you do want them to move forward, and you do need them to grow and to be challenged. And so how can you do that? You present challenges and then you encourage. And if you are feeling like you're being pushed and forced, you're not. Don't feel that way. Don't you love it when people say don't feel that way, when you're already feeling a particular way? But we hope nobody is feeling that way, because that's not the aim. The aim is just to encourage us to stretch and to grow. And to do that, you have to have challenge and things. Well, honestly speaking, they just have to be a little hard. And this is. But let's get creative and inventive. What about your family? Let's read it with your family. Wouldn't that be great? Let the little people read. Can your baby read yet? I know they can walk and talk. Can they read yet? Let them read a chapter. It'll be a long time. And they'll stumble over some names, no doubt about it. But be patient and hang in there. And maybe read it with your children. Read it with another family. Read it with a group. And any number of ways. Listen to it as you commute and so forth. But let's do it. Let's get in there and do it. I'm in. Lord's will. January 31st, I hope to be able to say, I met the challenge. Try and do it too. Well, I'm going to do it. We don't try to climb Everest, we climb it. What we do. This morning, and for the next four sessions, that's not really what I mean. Sermons, that's what I mean. The next four sermons are going to be about change. And then we are going to circle back and continue our thought about the world. But we'll take a quick detour, hopefully not far off, because I think it is connected ultimately. And we're going to talk about change. Each sermon will basically have one point. And then that one point will be supported by four other points. But really, there's only one point we want to make this morning. And really, we see it here in Luke chapter 15. The young man, the Bible says, came to himself. And then he went home. You talk about a change. You imagine walking a mile in this young man's shoes. He grew up in his father's house, and we trust it was a loving house, as the father represents God in the parable. We trust it was loving and nurturing and kind and benevolent. The boy surely was provided for, so much so that he knew even the servants were treated well in his father's house. His conclusion is, how many servants have enough and to spare? The servants are doing so well, they can give. and I'm here lying in this pit in need. I'll arise, he says, and go home to my father. And he does that. These four sermons with regards to change begin with this thought. Here is number one. Change is possible. But if you come back this evening, I want to caution you, because this evening's sermon is entitled, and the second point is, change is difficult. I didn't want to give you that first, because I wanted to give you the exhortation and the encouragement. And here it is. Change is possible. You're probably, like most of us, already looking forward, and probably you started earlier in the month looking forward into 2018 with some things in mind to change. You're going to do some things differently, yes? You're going to ultimately be a different person, yes? And I trust that at this point in your life, you know, not everybody's saying yes to that. Some of y'all are okay, just fine. I'm cruising from here. Change smange. I'm changing nothing. Yes? At any rate, most of y'all are thinking about changing some stuff, aren't you? All right. Change is possible. Maybe you want to change one or two things. Maybe you want to change you. This world and this life can be tough on us, so much so that you can begin to believe you can. I just want to begin with this thought. It's possible to change. I want to give you four reasons why it's possible. Why it's possible. Reason number one, because humans are not animals. In Genesis chapter 1, when God is making the world, the crowning achievement of that is humanity. It is the crown jewel of creation. We are. We're the zenith of God's creation. This is as good as it gets on earth, human beings. This is it. And we didn't get there evolving slowly out of a soup. No, we began this way. You talk about I woke up this way. Adam did. Eve did. Woke up intelligent. Woke up smart. Woke up able and capable. Woke up righteous. They did, because they shared the image of God. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Dominion. We have that over the animals, over the world, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You need to know it's possible because of what you are. Rather, who you are. Sharing God's image means you're able. You're capable. Even though it's possible that one of the reasons we need to change is we have given dominion to something else over us. And now we need to change that. Well, you can. Zebras, however, cannot. A zebra never wakes up saying, what am I going to wear today? Stripes. What are they going to be? Leopards, they don't change. Cheetahs, they don't change. Animals, they don't change. Lions are going to keep doing what lions do. And if you are a gazelle, good luck. Lions never going to wake up and say, you know what? I'm tired of gazelle. I think today I just want to be a vegetarian. Not the lion. Humans do that, but not the lions. Why can't we do it? It's possible. It's possible because we're made in the image of God. Humans are not animals. If there is something so tragically done to young people's mind, it is to tell them that they're animals. Nothing could be further from the truth, and scarcely could you do more damage to the mind of a human than to make them believe they're an animal. How and why is it possible? Number one, because humans are not animals. Number two, because change is a choice. You see the choice presented throughout the Bible, actually. God is constant in his appeal to man to change, and usually that change is to come back to him. man often starts with God and then man goes away for whatever reason. James will tell us the reason, lust, his own lust. He's drawn away of enticed, and then sin gives rise and ultimately ends in death. James says, James 1:13 through 15, here God is pleading with Israel to come back to him. They have healed also the herd of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Here is the Lord's request. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Change occurs or can occur because you can choose to do something different. The course you're presently on, you don't have to stay on. The road you're traveling, you don't have to keep going. The thing you're doing, you don't have to keep doing it. It's a choice, and you have volition. You can decide. They're learning this, actually. They're studying this in psychiatry, and they're excited that they're learning that humans can change. They can simply think different and become different. Well, yeah, it turns out it's true. You know, it's always been true. Once something, always something. Not according to God. It's a choice. Every being has been making this choice. Jesus said of the devil in John 8 and verse 44, he said of him, he abode not in the truth. In Exodus chapter 5, Pharaoh was presented with an option. God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, I will not let them go. In John 5, 39 and verse number 40, Jesus, talking to the Jews, tells them to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. And then he says this, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. They could have come. Others had come, but they wouldn't. Friends, you can change because it's a choice. There is nothing you're presently doing that if you want to stop it, you can't stop it. There is nothing presently you're not doing that if you wanted to do it, you could start it. Please don't subscribe to this idea that, well, that's just so and so. You know they special. The only thing special is cereal. Special K, that's they called it. That's it. Every other person is the same. If one person can do it, you can do it. Yes? Change is a choice, friends, and you can. Richard Curry used to say, success comes in cans, not can'ts. Take a drink. He didn't say that last part, I just thought of that. Drink you some can. Yes, I can. I can. You know, one of the things people say to me all the time, my favorite scripture. And then they quote Philippians 4. Doesn't that verse say I can? And usually I'm hearing that from somebody who says they can't. Now, how is that your favorite if in the verse it says I can and you keep saying I can't? Bible says you can. God says you can. What say you? Can. You can change. Because it's a choice. Number three, you can change because God demands change. Jesus repeatedly said, I couldn't give you all the verses where the Bible demands that you and I become different than we presently are. Couldn't give them all to you. The list would be too long. Just a sampling and a very small sample. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you read Luke chapter 13 in the first five verses, he actually says that twice in five verses. And in between the two verses he says it, he talks about a tower falling upon some and Pilate mingling the blood of others and killing them. And he says, do you suppose that they were sinners above others? I tell you no. I tell you nay. But except ye repent, you will all likewise perish. Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 17, Paul standing on Mars Hill talking to aliens. These people don't know God. They don't know Jesus. In fact, they think Paul is speaking some strange thing. We never heard of that. In that very sermon to that very audience, Paul says, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The very next verse he says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by that man. He will judge the world in righteousness by that man. The very one, Jesus Christ, he's going to judge the world by him. This word repentance, according to Thayer, means to change one's mind, to repent, to change one's mind for better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. Marshall Keeble used to say it meant to back up. That's what he would say. You're going one direction and you need to back up. I've heard one preacher say it this way. Repentance, and he had a three-part definition. He said something like this. Repentance is brought about by godly sorrow, which results in a change of mind, leading to reformation of life. That's good. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Why are you repenting? I'm sorry because I sinned against God. Godly sorrow. What that does is it causes me to change my mind. We might illustrate it by this way. I'm walking this direction. I come to find out this is the wrong way. Though I thought it was the right way, and though I'm consistent with what I believe, but I'm headed the wrong. I get some new information, and now I learn you're headed the wrong way. You're doing the wrong thing. With that new information, I'm sorry. I reverse my course of action, and I start an entirely new path. That's repentance. And God demands it. How do you know change is possible? God says you have to change. Now here we're talking about things pertaining to sin. I don't know all the particulars you want to change in your life. Some of those God may not actually demand. I don't know those. What I'm saying though, with regards to the ability to change, the possibility of change, it's rooted in the fact that God demands it in this regard. You don't really have a choice if you're going to be acceptable to him. You can't live your life for you. You can't live your life in sin with God's approval. If you hope to reach the shores of heaven, you have to change. I read a sign somewhere, somebody put out on our on a marquee, the one like we have outside. It said, come as you are, but you can't stay that way. Well, that's right. You can come as you are. In fact, everybody comes the same way in sin, don't they? Nobody comes to God not in need of Jesus. Everybody comes the same way. But you can't have God and Jesus and stay the same way. Repentance is possible because, or change is possible because God demands that we change. Number four, and finally this. Change is possible because others have changed. In fact, with regards to this point, we could literally just say the New Testament, if not the Bible. What the Bible largely is demonstrative of people who've changed. That's what it is. It manifests and shows us that. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, beginning, the apostles are talking to people who in the audience are those who had a hand in murdering the very Christ they were now preaching to that audience. The apostle said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. him being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken. And we're crucified by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Later in the Bible, here in Acts chapter 4, they're going to pray 4 or 5. They're going to pray for boldness. As a gospel preacher and as Christians, this is the kind of boldness you and I want to pray for. The kind of boldness to preach the appropriate material to the appropriate audience. They didn't want to talk to this group of people about a host of other things. You know, there could have been a wide array of topics to talk about that didn't include telling them, your hands are stained with the blood of Jesus and you need to do something about that. But that's the exact sermon they preached. Sometimes it's very easy to talk to people about different stuff and other things that's not the thing they need to be talked about. Not the apostles. Not the apostles. They said to this audience, you did it. There are people in this audience who helped kill Jesus. And he said God raised him, having loosed him from the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be holding him. Here's the benefit of that kind of preaching and that kind of teaching. At the end of this sermon, the Bible is going to say, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? How do you get people to that conviction? How do you get them to understand you need to do something different? You have to confront them with what the problem is. When they did that, these people changed. About 3,000 of those people gladly received his word. It's difficult, friends, for you and I probably to fully grasp and immerse ourselves in the moment. But these were the people who not many days ago, you know, time doesn't just pass. It passes, feels like it's going quickly. It feels that way. But as we stand here, December 31st, the first of the month, Thanksgiving is memorable, isn't it? Do you remember Thanksgiving dinner you just had? You remember the people there? You remember the setting, the events, the mac and cheese, other items on the menu? It's not so far away you can't remember it. This is like 40 days. 50. This is a month and a half, 2 months. This is not that long ago. The very people in the audience have blood on their hands. They were confronted, and because they were, they went from crucify him, to men and brethren, what shall we do? Others have changed. Acts chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, they'll get the same sermon. And you know what? More people will change. Acts chapter 4, they'll be interrupted. The apostles will in their preaching and question. But when they preach, more people will change. Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, Ananias and Sapphira will actually die for lying to the Holy Ghost, for lying. They'll actually fall dead. And you know what? That will cause fear, and they'll change as a result of that. In Acts chapter 19, a group of people changed their religion. You see, before the apostles came, they worshiped Diana. They practiced sorcery and magic and curious arts. When they heard the gospel, they brought their books together and burned them before all. They changed their morality in Corinth. Acts chapter 18 and verse number 8, the apostle Paul went to Corinth. When he arrived there, reading 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, what he found was fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, drunkards, extortioners. That's what was there. But after hearing the gospel, Acts 18:8 says many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. They changed their morality. People changed their eternal destinies. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, Paul exhorts the Thessalonians because when he came and preached the gospel to them, they turned from idols to serve the living God. Friends, people can change. It's possible. Don't let past failures lead you to the conclusion, well, we've tried it before. It's possible. Well, 2018 is not going to be any different than 2017. You remember all that stuff we said? See what happened? It's possible. Well, I've tried it before. I give myself 3 days, a week into January, and then you know what's going to happen. You know the people who talk like that? It's possible. Other people have changed, and you can too. Avondale's a great congregation. Can we change and be better? There are a bunch of great marriages in here. Can they improve and get better? Great friendships. Can they grow stronger and get better? I talked to a brother not long ago, and he and I just committed. We're going to spend more time together. Just going to do it on purpose. They're going to make it happen. We're going to make ourselves get closer. Can we do it? Sure can. What is it that you want to change in your life? Because there is no limit to your ability to be precisely what God demands and what you desire. Want a great marriage? You can have it. Want great children? You can have them. You want great friendships? You can have them. Want the congregation to be better? We can do it. You want to read the New Testament in the month of January? You can absolutely do it. Anything that you want to change in your life where you have control and say over it, you can change it. Change it for the better. And may God bless every one of us with the strength and resolve and the encouragement of each other to do just that. Amen? Amen. How did a Christian this morning become one? The Lord's people don't go around feeling sorry for themselves. Lord's people have bad days, yes. Lord's people have hang-ups and setbacks and shortcomings and missed, yes. Blue days, yes. Gray, yes, and every other color in the rainbow. We got them. But we do not become pessimistic. Put your head in the sand, despondent, unhappy people who live. That's not God's people. God's people believe in God. And God is the great I am. And friends, God's people believe that. If you're not one of those people, become one. Maybe you've been putting it off. Thank God you made it to 2017's end. Thank God you reached this day. But if you have tarried, and you have shunned the Savior's call and the Spirit's invitation, make today your day. Don't go another day without changing your relationship with God. Become a Christian, friend. Believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am, you will die in your sins. Don't die in your sins. Change. Repent, Luke 13:3. Jesus said, I tell you nay, I'm warning you. If you don't repent, you'll perish. Friend, don't perish. Change. Confess the name of Jesus, Matthew 10:32-33, Romans 10:9-10. There's no greater name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Confess your belief in Jesus. You confess him, he'll confess you. And then be immersed in water. Bury the old man of sin. At last, lay down the burden of guilt and shame. You've been carrying it around too long. Bury it with Christ. Rise and walk in newness of life. Changed, converted, born again and made new. Friends, if you haven't done that, this is your time. This is your opportunity to change. If you have, blessing is ours. I can't think of a better day for a year to end on than Sunday. Can't think of a better way to spend it than with God's people. We look forward to 2018. Let us do so with optimism and hope. Let us look forward with renewed zeal and energy. Let's make us and this congregation, yea, this year, better than last year. Let's all pitch in. Let's live continually at peace. Let's prefer one another. Let's love each other. Let's say it and show it. Let's guard our tongues. Prefer one another. Let our speech be seasoned with grace. Might impart or salt and grace to the hearers. Let us build up and not tear down. Let us be a blessing to each other and not a burden. Thank God for another year. Thank God for you. Thank God for Jesus. Change is possible. Come back tonight because it's difficult. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.